God's grace and His peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text coming from our epistle reading from Revelation chapter 3, 1 through 6. In this letter, John is writing to a church that pretty much understands the gospel message. But just because someone understands the gospel message doesn't necessarily mean that the person is going to follow all the instructions, especially not necessarily God's way. As Christians, we have a bad habit of saying, "Yes, I believe. Yes, Lord, I want to follow your way. Your way is 100% right," at least while we're in church. But as soon as we leave church, don't we want it then our way? In our prayers, as our prayer is filled with the petitions, "Thy will be done. Lord, help me understand your will in this situation when some calamity comes. Lord, help me understand your will for whatever tragic event has come into my life. Lord, help me understand your will," no matter what occurs. Or is our petition filled with, "Lord, fix this problem, fix that problem. Can you do this for me?" Almost with the idea that we know better. I will admit, that's our sinful human nature coming forward. And for those of you who ever had the opportunity to raise children, I've learned very quickly and how they have that sinful human nature. Because as soon as they start learning how to speak, one of the first words that come out of their mouth is, "No." And as hearing that from a parent's point of view, I will admit, that's a little challenging. It gets even a little bit more challenging as my kids get a little bit older. It's more than just no, it's now they are telling me what to do. And every so often I have to remind them, and I look at them straight in the eye and I said, "Who's the daddy?" They get the point. "Oh, yeah, we're the kids. You're the parents. We're supposed to listen to you, right?" At least that's my understanding of it. They, unfortunately, have a different understanding. They will listen to me only when it's convenient for them. Unfortunately, as we get a little older, yes, my girls are in kindergarten and first grade, but as we get a little older, we take that same line of thought into our adult age. And we will listen to God when it is convenient for us. But if it's inconvenient for us, well, then we're just going to do things our way. That sinful nature still remains even after we have been baptized into Christ and bear the name of Christ. Still within us is that rebellion that says, "I want to do things my way." Well, one of the reasons why we have to talk about this rebellion is what was going on in the church of Sardis during this time. Yes, they were probably baptized into Christ. Yes, they had the Word of God. Yes, they understood God's grace by faith. They were probably very good Lutherans. Too good Lutherans. Even though there weren't Lutherans around at that time. Because as Lutherans, we also fall into the same trap that they fell into. We understand our justification, and we look to God for the source of that justification. We see the cross of Jesus Christ and Him crucified right there in our sanctuary. And we are very happy because we know we cannot achieve eternal life by anything we do. It must be 100% God's doing. Now, what makes us really good Lutherans, or good rebellious Christians, depending on how you want to look at that, is that we're proud that we are saved by God's grace through faith. But what about the other people? What about the people around us? Well, usually our reaction would be, "Well, that's their problem. What can I do about it? It's the Holy Spirit who gives them that faith. Let the Holy Spirit work." Well, I will admit, it is the Holy Spirit who works. He works through means, especially through God's Word. He works through that means. But did we not forget that any time we start talking about God and His grace and His love and His forgiveness. Anytime we start proclaiming the precious truth of His Word, we all of a sudden become a tool or an instrument that the Holy Spirit can work through us and change their hearts. Too often, as good Lutherans, we sit there and say, why would I want to do something like that? And the answer is, because it's God's will. It's God's will for all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. Our sinful human nature comes forward and says, I don't want to do good works for my enemies. I don't want to be nice to them. I'd rather just be happy that I know that I'm saved. And then we start falling, so to speak, a little bit more away from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because we have to remember one other very important truth. Yes, we've been saved by God's grace through faith. And this is a gift of God so that no one can boast. I'm not going to disagree with Paul. I'm going to cement what Paul says and says amen to it. We have that gift. We also can lose that gift. How do we lose that gift? A, by not paying attention to our sins, and also not by caring or by failing to care for our neighbor. We got to remember, as Martin Luther went through each one of the commandments and started talking about the commandments, each commandment has a prohibition, probably, thou shalt not. Except for the fourth commandment, which just basically says, honor your father and mother. And in case if you're wondering, yes, I do use that very frequently in my household. You have this thou shalt not, and in the midst of that thou shalt not, especially in relationship to our neighbor, Luther adds, this is what you should be doing. You should be sharing God's love, avoiding sin and sharing God's love to your neighbor, especially those who do not believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But too often, that rebellious nature comes up again and says, okay, God, that's your will. And in church, I'll say amen to that. But what happens when I leave? I go back to my old routines. Just thanking the Lord that, yes, I'm saved, and who cares about anything else? Notice what our text for today says. In verse 1, he says, I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. How can you have that reputation for being alive? Well, anyone who bears the mark of Christ through holy baptism has the Holy Spirit and is alive. But then how can John then write, you are dead? Plain and simple. That flame of faith within us is slowly dwindling. And it's not dwindling because God isn't almighty. He is. It's not dwindling because God doesn't care. He does care. God is trying to fan the flame of faith within us. Then why is that flame dying out? The hardness of our sin is taking over. But you are dead. We are falling asleep, so to speak. Verse 2, wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have found your deeds, for I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. They were struggling with the same issues that my daughter struggled with, then I also struggle with. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is very, very weak. We come before the Lord with a whole laundry list of things that we want done, and we keep forgetting about what He wants done. So John has to encourage them. Remember, therefore, what you received and heard, and obey it. Obey it and repent. To turn our lives around and saying, wait a minute, I have this gift of faith. And once I have this gift of faith, now we move from the area of justification into sanctification. That growing of that faith. And yes, the Holy Spirit wants to grow that faith within you. The Holy Spirit wants that faith to blossom within you. But there's a little bit of a struggle. The Holy Spirit is alive and active and kicking and growing. But our sinful nature, our flesh and blood, our reason is putting down the Holy Spirit. That's why John says, wake up. Remember what you received and heard. Remember the precious good news of the gospel that, yes, you are saved by God's grace through faith. And cherish that. And because you cherish it, you do want to share it with those around you. Wake up, as he reminds us, or he will come like a thief. The hour will come and he'll say, okay, here comes my kingdom. And what happens when that spark of faith finally gets pushed aside by our human nature and gets snuffed out? And then our Lord comes. We who at one time bore the mark of Christ, no longer. And then, as Scripture reminds us, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Can you lose that faith? The answer is yes. Our sinful nature can push that faith out of our lives. So what do? We go back to John's letter here, chapter 3, verse 2. We wake up. We strengthen what remains, being drawn to God's Word. And not just for ourselves, but to share it among us. Not just among us, but among them. See, the more that we grow and share, or the more that we share that faith, the more we grow in that faith. This is very true. Ask any Bible study leader, or any Sunday school teacher, or any pastor. The more you teach God's Word, even though you may think that you don't know that much, but if you're teaching to a group of children or a group of adults, something happens. You start growing. You start learning more. You start appreciating this faith more. Plain and simple, that same concept comes to us as Christians. The more we share that faith of God, the more we obey the commandments, the more we share God's love, the more we're going to grow in it. If Christians truly understood this concept, and it is a true concept, ask any Sunday school teacher. Ask anyone who, any vacation Bible school teacher. Ask anyone who has done any teaching of God's Word, and they will be quick to tell you that yes, their faith grows as they are teaching it, more than if they were just a student. Even though we talk about this from time to time, the point still doesn't hit home. Because if the point truly hit home, I should have a whole congregation of people that says, Pastor, I want to lead my own Bible study at home because I want to grow in this faith. What a wonderful idea. And you know what I would say? Great. Invite your neighbors. I'll hand you the studies. You want to know how fast this church would grow? We would have packed services every single time. We'd have probably services 5, 6, 7 times a weekend. Okay, my sinful nature just came forward and said, that'll be a little exhausting for me, but that's okay. We'll get around it somehow. But what a wonderful opportunity. But when the opportunity comes and says, we need teachers for vacation Bible school, we need teachers for Bible class, we need teachers for Sunday school, it's more like pulling teeth. Our sinful nature kicks in again. And now we have to hear Revelation chapter 3, 1 through 6 again. It's interesting to note as we're going through these letters that John keeps writing these and they're still relevant to today's society. We fit very well in the Church of Sardis. As Lutherans, we are very proud that we are saved by God's grace through faith. But how often do we take the time to grow in that faith? How often do we take the time to share that faith? How often do we take the time to teach that faith? That's the challenge that we face. And by God's grace, He fills us with the Spirit that says, Pastor, I want to take that challenge. I want to grow in that faith. I don't want my faith to die. Teach me how to share God's love. Not only to my neighbor, but to those people especially who, by my judgmental attitude, I feel don't deserve God's love. They need it the most. And we're the ones that the Holy Spirit can use to teach it to them. That's the challenge. The more we teach, the more we ourselves are going to grow. So if you ever ask, you know, Pastor, what do I have to do to grow my faith? That faith within me, I should probably say, go back to Revelation chapter 3. Beautiful ideas here. The Holy Spirit is willing. The flesh is weak. So we come before our Lord and Savior today, or tonight I should say, and say, Lord, have mercy. There have been many times I have failed to teach. Give me strength. Give me forgiveness. Lord, have mercy. There have been many times I have failed to do good to my neighbor in need. Forgive my sins. And we come before the Lord, and our Lord is still loving and still compassionate. He still forgives our sins and says, okay, here's that grace. Here's that love. Here's that forgiveness. Take this word and share it. Because as you share it, you grow in that faith. That's the beauty of the gift of God. It sounds so easy, and it is. So we ask the Lord for strength this evening. Strength to be good witnesses of sharing His love to a community that's still living in darkness, so that God's Word may grow in us, but also in them. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.